On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care. What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with J.P. Finley.
What up, everybody? J.P. Finley here, Redskins Talk Podcast. We got a lot to discuss as the Redskins prepare to try and get their second NFC East win of the season in Dallas Thursday night, maybe or maybe not wearing color rush uniforms. We'll find that out. That's a hot-button topic if there ever was one. We got a whole bunch of stuff we want to discuss. Quarterbacks on both sides of the ball, Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott. I'm a little curious what's going on with Jason Garrett, if the heat's coming there. Taylor's going to give us some good information in the trenches on the O-line and the D-line. We got over-unders, and then we're going to talk about Texas. And I don't know if it's going to make any sense, but I got a plan. Taylor, say what's up, man.
What's up, folks?
We got a lot of guests here. Mitch Tischler's with us, the local celebrity.
What's up, guys?
Always happy to have Mitch. And here we go. All right, Pete is here. He's on a snap count, what he's allowed to say. Say hello, Pete.
Hello.
All right, cool. All right, let's... Taylor, I want to dig into the Kirk stuff to get things started.
Sure.
I had a busy week writing about Kirk, and things started with, you know, it's funny as people discuss Kirk and where he belongs in the NFL, usually the conversation is he a top 10 quarterback or is he a top half of the league quarterback? You start digging into the numbers, and the question really becomes, is he a top 5 quarterback? And his numbers are certainly behind Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Carson Wentz. There's zero argument there. None. Nunca. And I would add, if Aaron Rodgers was playing, there would be no argument that Rodgers would be ahead of him. After that, though, you can make a case for Kirk against the rest of the NFL, and that includes guys like Russ Wilson, Phillip Rivers. You know, people will yell about Ben Roethlisberger, Matt Stafford, Matt Ryan. Cousins' numbers are better, and I know yardage isn't everything, but yardage per game, and then if you start digging into some of the more advanced stat stuff, you know, yards per attempt, net yards per attempt, Cousins is kind of right there in that. And I wrote that to kind of point out that half the Redskins fan base is still very sour on Kirk Cousins for whatever reason. Maybe not half, but I'd say a solid quarter, judging by my Twitter mentions anyway. And I found it interesting. But then you look at Pro Football Focus and Football Outsiders, two different, unique sets of, you know, formulas and algorithms, however they track quarterback play. They both have Kirk Cousins as the 11th best quarterback in the NFL. And I just found that interesting. There are certainly plenty of fans that would point out that wins and losses are what matter at quarterback, and the Skins are currently one game under 500. And what I'm most shocked about by all this is the absolute longest Taylor and Mitch have let me talk without interrupting me. So I'm going to turn it over. Taylor, we'll start with you. Just kind of what was your reaction when you and I talked throughout the piece I wrote, so you kind of knew what was coming. But it was still a bit of a surprise, right, to see where Cousins ranked just statistically?
No, I mean, not really. I think that, you know, his passer rating, which I'm not sure if you mentioned or not, has been in the top 4 or 5 the last couple of years. It's ESPN QBR has been a little bit lower, but up there. And don't get me wrong, I'm certainly a guy who likes to look at numbers. I think they do tell part of the story. I'm not sure they tell the whole story with Kirk Cousins. And you know, you can look at the pros and the cons about how he has he's done, and I'm not sure if you mentioned this in that post, you certainly didn't dwell on it. He's done what he's done with his two top receivers from last year being gone, both 1,000-yard guys. Jordan Reed being missing in action for most of the year.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Thompson's been their best receiver.
He did have Chris Thompson until very recently, but
right.
Most of the numbers were compiled him in there. So, you know, I wouldn't anoint him a top five quarterback simply based on his 2017 numbers. You know, that you know, I hate to keep bringing up a play, but, you know, you can do a lot of good and undo it in one play when you're an NFL quarterback. That interception against the Giants in Week 17 last year, you know, that's just one interception when it comes to his quarterback rating and things like that. But it is a huge, huge, huge play that was large. You know, you can't. It's not like the receiver slipped. It's not like anything. He just threw it when he shouldn't have thrown it.
Yeah, and go ahead, Mitchell.
Oh, my whole thing along the way has been whether he's a top five or top 10 or top 12 quarterback or whatever, there's not somebody better out there. He's a very good quarterback who wins games. He keeps you competitive always. Look at the rest of the around the league, all these quarterbacks that have gone out. With the Texans, with the...
Savage.
I mean, seriously, you look at some of the quarterbacks who have come in and played, there's not a better guy out there. So for everyone who's calling for Cousins to be gone and we shouldn't sign him long-term, what is the other option?
Right, and I think it's like when people want to scream about firing the coach, and it doesn't matter if it's high school basketball or NFL football. Like, people always want to fire the coach. Who the hell are you bringing in? And I think if you look at the Cousins situation... I've reported and I've said in my own opinion, I think Colt McCoy gets you 80% of the production Kirk does. I think Colt could move the ball pretty well. I think you worry about Colt's durability over a 16-game season. But I don't think the Skins are going to be able to replace Kirk next year and get the same level. And I think this is important to add, too. Kirk's improving. Kirk's a better quarterback this year than he was last year, than he was in 2016.
And everyone's problem with Kirk for next year is how much he may cost. Since the Redskins have started this sort of overall team rehaul, rebuild, they haven't been up against salary cap. They're not in this situation where they're getting crushed every year. They can't sign guys because they don't have money. They got money to spend. Spend it on the best guys available.
Look at Mitch giving me the perfect segue into the other piece that I wrote. Pete is just in the room and clearing his throat every 30 seconds. You hearing that?
It's almost like Tandler and the coughing into the phone.
I'm doing it away from the mic, though.
No, you're not, you idiot.
We can hear you.
All right. So the other piece I wrote was, and Tandler and I have been going back and forth on this for a while, but it's starting to gain steam. Ian Rappaport had a report last week that the Skins are still considering a franchise tag for Kirk Cousins. I think that was before the Thanksgiving game. And I am of the opinion, and I laid out my case, if they can't get a long-term, getting a long-term deal done with Kirk should be priority number one. That should be the goal. Everybody in Ashburn, Redskins Park Drive, should want to get that done. I don't know that Kirk's going to want to get that done, frankly, but that should be the front office main focus this offseason. If that doesn't happen, the team absolutely has to use the non-exclusive franchise tag. And I've laid out my reasonings. You can read the article on NBC Sports Washington. But ultimately, I'll boil it down to this. That's the only way the Skins are guaranteed to have some good options. One of them is you keep Kirk on the team, and one of them is you do make a trade, but you're able to get some compensation. Tandler, I know we've kind of gone back and forth on this.
Yes.
I'll give you the floor.
Real quick, that compensation is just a third rounder, right?
No. The compensation for a franchise tag, it's the conversation starts at two first-round picks.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. You know, first of all, $34 million. That's a lot. They have $65 million in available cap space. So they could afford to do it. But that is a lot of money for a guy who is, you know, not a top quarterback. But I guess my point is, you know, okay, yes, you can afford it. Yeah, but to what end? I mean, is he going to be any more inclined to sign with the Redskins a long-term deal in 2019 than he will be in 2018?
But Taylor,
I mean, why not just move on? Do the transition tag.
So, but all right, hold on.
Let me finish.
I want to yell.
That you can say you try. You know, and you can, if he goes, you can say you tried. If you want to match it, you can match it, or maybe he'll sign with you. But what's maybe you can answer the question. What is the point in putting off if him departing is inevitable? What's the point in putting it off another year when you can put that $35 million?
Because you want to win games, and he gives you the best chance to win games. I don't know when that stopped mattering in the equation.
This team is playing however well they're playing right now with as many injuries as they are, and there's already little grumbles of talk about Gruden's job and the coaching staff and whatnot. If they kick the can down the curb and they go with whatever, you know, Rex Grossman and John Beck next year,
Rex Grossman's coming back.
I'm just saying, that level of quarterback next year, what is everyone going to start saying about Gruden? How much more turmoil does this franchise go into then?
But I mean, the goal is to win games, and I don't know why it's like, is there
okay, but
people
not,
are fatigued about Kirk? I don't get it.
The goal is not to win games at any cost. I mean, they could have brought in Ndamukong Suh a couple of years ago. You know, that's just what came to the top of my head. Really stretched the salary cap and brought him in and maybe won a few more games. To what, you know, again, it has to be balanced off.
But
and you know, if you have $65 million to spend and Kirk is not there, you can get some quality football players.
But Chandler,
Case Keenum or somebody like that. I don't love Case Keenum. I'm just throwing that in there as an example.
But Taylor, you're saying that you're comfortable at the transition number, but at the franchise it gets out of whack for you. You're talking $29 million versus $34 million. You're talking 17% of the salary cap versus 20% of the salary cap. 3% difference is worth letting a franchise passer walk away and letting him walk away without getting compensated for it? That doesn't compute to me.
And spending $65 million on free agents, Taylor? What
get a deal get a deal done. I think the transition tag could probably create finality. It's either done or it's not, and you're moving on.
Non-exclusive tag allows him to talk to other teams too.
Sure, but you know, JP, come on, be real. He is going to sign that thing. I don't want to be between him and Redskins Park when he's tagged, because he's going to drive down there so fast to sign that thing.
Right, but Taylor, he could sign it and then still talk to other teams. He could sign it and then the conversation starts.
But that's his. You know, I don't know.
So
I don't think he couldn't. No, but then he would have to go. The Redskins would have to give permission for him to go talk to other teams. It would have to get. You know, it could happen. Yes.
All right, but
I don't think any of these options are good. I'm not saying
I agree with that. There's no good option.
Tag is the ideal way. Hey, letting them walk in free agency is the ideal way. Letting them walk in free agency, you do get your third round compensatory pick, which whoop you do. But you know, at least it's over. You can get your new quarterback. You know, go with Colt. Chase Keenum, sign Sam Bradford. I don't know, somebody to drive the car while your franchise quarterback is developing.
If teams are going hard, if fans are going hard at Kirk right now for his perceived faults, what is it going to be next year with Case Keenum or whatever trash they bring in?
Case isn't trash, by the way, Mitch.
All right. But you know what? So what? Fans are going to get on the quarterback. You know, Tom Brady is probably the only quarterback in the league who doesn't get dumped on by fans.
Hell, there were people talking about Jimmy Garoppolo earlier this year. But
what?
There were people talking about Garoppolo earlier this year for Brady.
Hell, Garoppolo has pretty good numbers.
But Taylor,
okay.
Here's what I don't understand. The let's just be over. Let's get finality. What the hell difference does it make? Like, if he's here for
$35 million, what difference it makes.
But you're okay at the transition number?
I don't really like that. I would rather the transition thing work to a long term deal for him that the Redskins have the option to match and he can go here or elsewhere.
I think the transition, he's gone. I think you've got some chance at non exclusive. But I agree with you that certainly the best option is just to get a damn deal done. But that looks like
$35 million towards a deal. You know, start it there and work up.
All right, we're going to argue about this plenty over the next 5 months probably. So let's move on to something way, way more stupid. And let's talk about the color rush. Here's what we know. The NFL expects teams to wear their color rush uniforms. There are members in the Redskins front office that don't want to wear them. By the time this podcast comes out, there may be some finality. We're not going to get finality on Kirk Cousins, but maybe we'll get some damn color rush finality. Here's my stance on this. IDGAF. I'm not a uniform guy. Tandler, you care? You're a traditional dude. Maybe you care.
Ditto. I do not care.
Okay.
I don't. But you know what? I do care about being able to read the numbers from the press box.
Those homecoming unis are so annoying.
You can't do that no matter what uniforms they're wearing, Tandler. It doesn't matter what color they are.
I have my binoculars.
Ooh, Pete.
I can see. Yeah.
I don't really care about the uniforms, but I think they look great. I love the gold on gold. Let's go.
You're just trolling.
I'm not trolling.
You think those look good, dude?
Yeah. You don't like those Thursday night uniforms? I think they're great. The Seahawks last week in the neon green.
There are some teams that have been good.
I hate that neon green.
Well, if Hamler,
I mean, obviously Tandler hates.
If Tandler hates it this much, I love it that much more.
Right.
I love them. I think they should go with them. I think it's a good look. They can sell more jerseys. Let's go.
I mean, I think the whole league is doing it, and you should just do it once. But I think the yellow on yellow, whatever that is pretty terrible. I also just don't care.
It's really not that big a deal, but it is fun to talk about.
Pete is the lone 20-something in the room. Pete cares. What do you want them to wear?
They need to go white on white from the Santana Moss, Sean Taylor, like mid-2000s when they wore those during
the
postseason
run. Yeah, you know what? On Slack, Pete, you called those the glory days.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? Those ain't the glory days, pal.
But Tandler, if you're 23 like Pete, those are the glory days. So it's all relative, man.
I think calling them glory is pushing it a little bit.
Definitely not burgundy on burgundy either.
Winning one playoff game is not glory.
Enough.
By any stretch.
Let's talk Dallas a little bit. The Cowboys have been a mess since Zeke Elliott went out. They haven't scored in double digits in three games. The questions are starting to mount about, can Dak Prescott produce without Zeke? The questions are starting to mount for Jason Garrett. Jerry Jones under fire all over the place, and some of it at his own making, certainly. But Jera came out and said... He came out to remind everybody that Garrett was the NFL coach of the year last year. He just wanted everybody to remember that. It's crazy. The Cowboys, Tandler, what's their record? Are they 5-6 also?
Yes.
They're a game below 500 and the ship is sinking. Whereas here in DC, Skins are a game below 500 and people are like, oh, they could go on a run. It's just perspective is a wild beast. I think. Well, go ahead, Tandler.
Yeah, well, the Redskins haven't scored single digits in their last three games.
Yeah,
that goes a long way.
And got drilled on national TV. Didn't help by the Chargers.
I'll tell you what, Jerry's doing a pretty good job of keeping the heat off his boys, though. The more he talks, the more he gets himself, quote-unquote, in trouble in the national spotlight, the less they talk about how bad the Cowboys' offense is, and it's been really, really bad.
I tell you what, in this, I don't know if this is the forum, if I'm a billionaire team owner and I have to pick between Jerry and Roger, I pick Jerry.
Jerry might be the best businessman in the entire NFL.
Tandler,
he just prints money.
What say you, Tandler?
Yeah, I probably would, but he needs to stop being the GM of that football team.
Yeah. He's kind of built him back. I mean, he was the GM last year. They were 13-3.
Consistent up and down. Yeah, okay. That's okay for 1 year.
I think his son has gotten way more involved, and they started building the trenches. All right, dude.
If Zeke
Taylor's extra grumpy, dude.
He is. But if Zeke's not injured, this team's a playoff team, right? I mean, this team was very good until Zeke got hurt, and now got suspended.
Defensively, they haven't been very good on the defensive side of the ball either, and that's not.
But they didn't have a good defense last year, and they went 13-3.
Suspension.
All right.
Right, but you can't. That's smoke and mirrors.
Welcome to Cowboys Talk, everybody.
Yeah, jeez. It's grumpy Tandler.
You're smoke and mirrors, Tandler.
There's a way to make Tandler grumpier, and that's by telling him our surprise for Dallas, if you want to break it to him.
Oh, yeah, Tandler. So we actually intentionally didn't tell you this so we could tell you live on the podcast. Are you ready for some news, RT?
Sure, let's do it.
We have no parking for Cowboys Stadium on Thursday night.
No. We have one parking. I have a parking pass. There's no parking pass for you, Tandler.
That's fine. We just go, we pay, and we expense it.
That was kind of lame.
Yeah, you're supposed to be grumpier about this.
Of all, you're mad about everything, and the parking doesn't bother you.
Year before last, that's what Tark and I did. We didn't get parking. We, you know, it's a little bit of a walk, but
yeah, you guys parked like 2 miles away.
I can certainly use a walk.
Tandler, you should just go in the morning with Mitch, dude.
Yeah, you can sit on top of all the equipment on the car.
Or maybe just take an Uber. I don't know.
I'm taking an Uber. All right. That was
anticlimactic.
All right. RT, 2 minutes. Give me Redskins updates on the offensive line and defensive line.
Okay. Offensive line, looks like Trent is going to play. He practiced today, today being Tuesday, which is the equivalent of the Friday practice. That his pattern is, if he practices on Friday, he plays. And that will put, interestingly, more than likely, Tyan Seki at left guard. He is 6'8", and you know, you got to wonder about Kirk Cousins being able to see downfield.
I'm not buying
behind
that.
A
I'm not buying that one
eight,
bit.
A 6'8" guard. That look, there's a reason why guards tend to be.
You hate
six,
guards,
three,
Chandler.
6'4" max.
Yo, you are always all in on guard hate.
But no,
hey,
but
hey,
see,
how tall?
I'm fine with a minimum wage guard out of the Arena League.
Right.
I mean, that's fine.
Because you devalue
guard
play.
Kind of guard.
Hey, how tall is Brandon Scherff?
I think that's interesting. I think he was overdrafted, but he's doing fine.
How tall is Brandon Scherff?
I think he's 6'4", 6'5".
I think he's 6'6". Trent said this week.
Trent Williams said he's the shortest dude on the offensive line, and I've got Trent at 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah.
So, I mean, Kirk's looking
he's
the other way. Right.
6'5".
Scherff is listed as 6'5".
So that 3 inches is the difference?
That's,
sure.
Ooh, there's a joke to be made there, and we're not going to do it because this is a family podcast.
No way.
All right, give us the defensive line update.
Well, it's not an update yet, but Jonathan Allen could return to practice, eligible to return to practice after this game. Then 2 weeks, he could be back for the Week 15 game. There seems to be optimism. Now, that could fade if he actually gets out there and practice, and you know, it turns out the Liz Frank is not fully healed, but they are going to be cautious with him. And just let me say this in conclusion. If he is healthy and gets certified to play, he will play regardless of the Redskins' status regarding the playoffs.
That's something you get mad about. Like, I get mad about refs not blowing plays dead and waiting for replay. You're just adamant that once you're healthy, you should go regardless of the situation, right?
Well, I'm not saying, it's not what I say. It's the way it's done.
I'm not a binary one or zero guy, but
the NFL does things.
He's a rookie. He needs that. He needs all the work he can get. And playing those last 2 or 3 weeks will help in the future, even if they're out of playoff contention this year.
Yes.
Here's all I'll say is, Taylor, what are you doing over there, dude? You fighting a cat? What was that noise?
That was a door I had to open so the buzzer on the dryer didn't keep on going off, if you must know.
One of these days, so to set the scene, Mitch, Pete, and I are all in the Bethesda podcast studio, and Tandler's at home, like he gets to enjoy the comfort of his surroundings for most podcasts. And one of these days, Tandler, we're going to make it through without some bizarre noise from your end of the phone line.
Yeah, it wouldn't be any fun.
All right, it's time for over-unders. Hopefully the dryer is calm. Pete, hit us.
First off, as usual, Kirk Cousins' passing yards this week, it's at 284.5.
Over. I think the Skins score. I think Kirk has a bigger day. Go ahead, Taylor.
I'm going to go, I think probably for the first time this year, I will take the under. I think they're going to run the ball. You know, and I think you get around 250, maybe 275, I think 284.
I think you're only going under because that's how I beat you last week, because I went under, and you're just trying to copy me.
Can I just give him a premature?
Last week is.
That wasn't the buzzer for your dryer, by the way. That was Mitch.
I don't.
All right. Oh, Taylor liked that one. All right. Pete, what's next? P. Ryan
at 72.5.
Over. He said 200 yard games in a row. I don't know if he gets to 100, but I think he gets to 90.
Yeah, I'll put him at a buck and a quarter. Yes, over.
Buck and a quarter, says RT.
That's a big day.
I mean, is Sean Lee playing? Do we know?
No.
Probably not, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I would not be shocked if Piron gets to 115, 120. All right, what's our last one?
But 125 is too much.
I was more laughing at you saying a buck and a quarter. It was rather hip combo from you, RT.
Dope.
I'm
You're hip.
I'm hip.
Can we isolate Taylor saying I'm hip?
Will do. All right, and finally, Cowboys points. You got a little bold here, but I guess not considering the recent performance, 10.5.
Taylor, tell folks how we got to that number real quick, just a reminder.
Well, just that they have single-digit points in their last three games. So that would actually constitute a scoring explosion for them by recent standards.
Since Zeke went out, they haven't gotten double digits. Rich, you want to pick or me?
Zeke will still be out. You've gone first on the other two. I will go over. Not a whole lot over, but I think they should stagger up to 13, 14 points.
All right, we're going to go right into our game preview from this because it leads right into it. I'm going over as well, and I don't think this thing's going to be as easy as them only scoring 13 points. I think Dak gets out on the move. I think the bootlegs have always killed them. I think they will continue. I think you see Jason Witten and some guys have a big day. I think the Skins win, but I think this thing is 30 to 20-ish, 30, maybe even 30 to 23 and keep everybody – you know, on the edge of their seat, like Redskins wins tend to do. What say you, Rich?
I'm going to go with the I'll go with the Redskins 23, Cowboys 14. I think it'll be a moderately comfortable win for the Redskins.
Mitchell, you got a pick?
I think we're going to see a big day from Kirk. I go 33-17.
Okay. All right. This is going to be super quick here. We're going to go around the room naming things that people call them Texas somethings, even though it doesn't make any sense. I'm going to start the list by saying Texas toast. All that is white bread. Why can't we just call it white bread?
Because it's thick white bread.
All right. If any, Mitch is giving me a look like this is the dumbest idea I've ever had, and I've had some pretty dumb ideas. All right. I got another one then. Nobody else wants to go. Texas wedge. When you putt off the fringe of the green, it's called using a Texas wedge instead of using a putter. That's dumb, too.
That is dumb.
All right. Taylor, you got any?
I just say the best thing from Texas is me.
Oh,
I was born in Fort Worth.
I was going to go Texas steer.
That was peak Tandler, the cockiest, grumpiest dude in America. And I tell you what, that's the perfect note to get out on. Mitch, Pete, you did okay today, buddy.
Did I get another chance to come back on?
No, man. You can't ask. Gosh, Pete.
Just watch the tape and evaluate me.
All right. RT, I will see you in Dallas. Mitchell, I will see you in Dallas. Everybody listening, thank you so much for listening. Oh, dude, two things. Leave some damn reviews. We have a Josh Norman, we have a NFL players towel that I'm going to mail out if somebody leaves the funniest review between now and the Chargers game, right?
And if you're a lawyer, none of this happened.
Yeah, if you're a lawyer, none of this happened. We need reviews. If you want me in a Christmas outfit, if you want Mitch in the New Year's baby outfit, we got to get to 160 reviews by the Broncos game.
In just a New Year's baby outfit.
We need 160 reviews by the Broncos game. Also, we did not forget about the survivor pool. I'm going to check on that. Somebody's getting something out of Tandler's closet. We will make sure that happens. Leave some reviews. Damn it. Tandler, tell the folks what to do.
Subscribe to the podcast. That's step A. Then leave reviews. It doesn't take long at all. Just take a minute. Leave a review and get JP in a wacky Christmas hat and JP in a wacky New Year something.
That's Mitch in the wacky New Year something. Mitch, you have something to say quick?
Right.
Just Tandler, they got you in the turkey suit. You got to go hard with these reviews. Get JP in the Christmas suit.
All right, we're out, dudes.
Go do your laundry, Tandler.
Mitch, Tandler, even damn Pete, thank you. We love you guys for listening. You're what makes Redskins Talk fun. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Key of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.